I guess the question to us in relationship to our life is maybe this question. Are you unemployed? Are you underemployed? Are you employed? You know, we have a, as it were, in America today, in this pandemic, coming out of this pandemic and whatever's happening here, we have these issues. We got a lot of people that are unemployed. Various reasons why, legitimate or not legitimate. There's all kinds of jobs out there, aren't there? May not be a job for the particular profession you have. There may be all kinds of jobs out there, and just a matter of maybe you want to be unemployed because you're getting benefits, and once those benefits run out, you say, hey, once they quit sending me the money, guess what? I'm going to go back and I'm not going to be unemployed anymore. Some people are underemployed, and some people don't want to go back to the job they had because they feel it's not reflective of their skills and their abilities and their talents. And so they are, we would say, underemployed. And then the vast majority of people, thank the good Lord here in America, are employed. They have jobs. Whoops, we'll go back here. Well, let's see, we'll go back here. Am I going backwards or forwards here? Well, let's see, okay. Whoops. Can we go back? I press the button, and I guess I should press the one that goes to the left rather than to the right, okay. Okay, so what's the, okay. Do I go back here? Okay, here we go. So, thanks to Jerry and Forrest, do you look any different? Do I look any different today to you? I got a haircut the other day, okay. So you may or may not notice that. By the way, when people get haircuts, usually I notice it. When women get haircuts, some of the time I notice it. You know, women like to be noticed. And you know the worst thing in the world to happen to us men is the women go and they get prettied up and they get a haircut or something like that, and they come home and they say, you know, they're kind of walking around and they may or may not say anything, and they said, and finally they may say, you notice anything different? That's it's like the deer in the headlights, isn't it? You know, duh. And we look and we, you know, it's kind of like we're clueless. We shouldn't be clueless, but sometimes we are. Should I be noticing anything different? And it's already too late. It's already too late, but then we've blown it, okay? But when you think about the word, as I was standing there in Angelina's after she'd cut my hair, I said, I'm doing this lesson tomorrow, and these are the three words: unemployed, underemployed, and employed. And I'm looking for a four-letter word. Can you guess what that is? You've already seen that up there, haven't you, if I flash through? That's the word I'm looking for there, that four-letter word, work. Work. And the science of work is ergonomics. E-R-G-O is almost like the Greek word, which means work. And then nomics deals with the law. So ergonomics is this whole thing, like with the main thing we have in this area, like a major distribution area. My granddaughter's husband works in distribution, logistics. And they're concerned about workflow and efficient methods and everything they do and channeling things in such a way. And that's science, like with industrial engineers. There are people that study all of that stuff to get the very best and most efficient output in terms of what they're trying to do. And so work is what we're going to talk about this morning. I'm sitting yesterday down at Arby's in Chillicothe. And I'm looking across the way from Arby's. If you've ever gone to the Arby's in Chillicothe, there's a place across the street. Can anybody tell me what that place is across the street from Arby's in Chillicothe? Longhorn Steakhouse. And I'm sitting there having a creamsicle shake for a dollar and crinkle fries for a dollar. It's not yet 2 to 5, by the way. And I'm in there and I think you can get a creamsicle shake anytime, not just 2 to 5. And so I go up there and she said, "No, you can't get that, sir. It's not a dollar now." I said, "Dean, you're cheap." "Yes, I am." And crinkle fries. You still got that thing about the crinkle fries? Because that's new. You know, it's not those curly fries anymore. They got the crinkle fries. And to me, they're much better than the curly fries. Okay. So I'm sitting there and the assistant manager comes across. She said, "Here," she told the girl and everything. After the girl told me I couldn't do it, she said, "Here, sir, I'll go ahead and fix that up for you. $2 plus tax, folks." So I'm looking across the way at Longhorn Steakhouse and people walking up there. And they're walking up to the front door and a couple of them pulled the door. And then a couple of them just read the sign there, but nobody's going in. And I'm thinking to myself, more than likely, they're not going in because they can't get enough help until a certain time of the day to handle the business. So what they're doing is they're just opening for certain hours now. And many places are doing that, aren't they? Because they can't get enough people to work at the offering they're making. And yes, I sat inside there at Arby's. Guess what? The dining room was open. And on Friday, I sat at Burger King. Guess what? Because the dining room was open. I don't like going and ordering food from a fast food restaurant and having to eat it in my vehicle or having to take it home. I prefer to eat it at the site, okay? Well, something that happened, of course, now you go along and you see this, as it were, competition among places to raise the wages, to entice people to come and to work, right? And one of the articles yesterday was talking about what was happening with teenagers right now. You know what's happening to a lot of teenagers right now? You're not a teenager yet, are you? You are? I apologize. How old are you? You're 14, okay. And he's taller than Dave, so in just case you're asking, I'll just give you that little bit of information. Yeah, Jenny's a little bit older than 14, okay? But teenagers, you know what's happening right now? A lot of teenagers are kind of, you know, doing all this stuff and saying, "Hey, I'd rather be working and making $10, $11, $12, $13 an hour than it would be." More and more are starting to do that now. So maybe that'll help out in that process and everything. And of course, we've got the supply chain issues we're worried about now. Gas prices, they say, one of the reasons why gas prices are going up, they say right now, is because they shut down a lot of the operations because of the pandemic and the demand wasn't there. So now we got to gear up again. And then the oil field workers and everything, that we're out of work and everything because of this. Some of them have gone and done other things now, and they may or may not be coming back, but we got to get them back and we got to get things going again. And by the way, we shut down the Keystone Pipeline, so there's not going to be as much fuel coming in the United States and everything now. They're going to ship it by rail, by the way, now, from Canada, in case you're wondering. And Russia just decided they've got a field there in Russia that they've got enough gas to be able to supply all the gas needs of the whole world from that field, they're estimating. Kind of interesting, isn't it? But gas prices keep going up. And somebody told me the other day, "Oh, they're going to go up $4 a gallon." I said, "No, they're not. There's plenty of oil, plenty of gas out there. It's just a matter of, like before, it was almost a dollar cheaper a year ago, folks, before the pandemic. So it'll go back down, my prediction will be." And you say, "Well, Dean, I'm going to have you pay the difference if it doesn't." I say, "No, no, don't hold me to that, okay?" But then we also have, of course, Walmart and trying to cure their problems, as it were. When it comes to work, Jesus is our example. We talk about following the example of Jesus. And Jesus said, "My food," and by the way, this was after he had fed 5,000. After he fed 5,000, he went over to the other shore and everything. The disciples were looking for him. And by the way, this is the situation where he met the Samaritan woman. And he said, you know, in essence, the disciple said, you know, has anybody, you know, got you something to eat? And Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And then he also said, this happened. This is the man that was born blind. Did he sin or did his parents sin that he was born this way? And Jesus said, this is so that the glory of God may be revealed. And he says, as long as his day, we must work the work of him who sent me. When I thought about what we would share together this morning, and I thought of that word work, and I thought, is there, as it were, because we say Jesus is the example for our life in every way. He's what we're trying to follow. And so what about him in relationship to his life? Was he the ultimate example, as it were, of what work is all about? Well, after Jesus had fed the 5,000, in John 6, it says, do not work as the disciples came to him for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him the Father, God the Father, has placed his seal of approval. And they ask him, what must we do to do the works God's required? The work of God is this: to believe in the one he has sent. Now, several years ago, does God ever speak to you? I think he does. Obviously, he speaks through his word, doesn't he? And when you read the word of God, does God speak to you in that word? You sit down and you read it, and you maybe digest it, maybe you don't digest it. Maybe you get the impact of it, maybe you don't. Maybe it's got a greater impact to you than it's ever had before. And when I read this scripture, I thought to myself, what is the thing that God wants of us? What is the work? And you remember the disciples, they said, what must we do to do the works God requires? You see, that legalistic mindset of that age, like Brandon talked about the old covenant and everything, they were so caught up in, did I dot every I, did I cross every T? Wednesday night we talked about the rich young ruler and how, you know, what must I do to do the works of what, to have eternal life? And Jesus says, there is only one who is good. By the way, in the language it says, there is only one who is the good. Like the one who is the way, the truth, the life. There's only the good, and that's God. You can talk all the good you want to and all the uses of the word good and everything, but the ultimate reality is when it comes to defining good, God's it. He's it. So they wanted to know the works that God requires, and Jesus said, this is the work. Just believe in the one he sent. What does God want from you and me as far as our work? Faith. Belief. Trust. That's what he wants. So, it all starts with our response to God. Believing in Jesus Christ, the one God has sent. And then we get down to this, have you been working out? You know, we have workouts and everything, people physically. That's a big thing in our society. If we were to ask somebody, have you been working out? And they'd more likely tell, well, I've been to the gym lately. No, I haven't been to the spa lately. No, I haven't been out running, or no, I haven't been out walking, or not lifting the weights, or I have or I haven't. But the spiritual workout. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to work in order to fulfill his good purpose. The gigo, G-I-G-O. Garbage in, garbage out. Or God in and God out. It's the way it is in relationship to life. And so when it comes to our faith, there's a matter of continue to work out our salvation. It begins with our faith that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's your resource? For your work, what's your resource? What do you know in terms of what you need to do to work? You got the Word of God. And it tells us that all Scripture is God-breathed, used for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training, righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for what? Every good work. You need the manual. You need the instructions. You need the guidance, and I do too. You need what God breathes. You need what is written. That's what Scripture is. And so that's what we need as our resource. So you got the resource. Well, what happens? There are times that come, right? There are positive and negative times that come. And James talks about, consider it pure joys, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials or temptations or testings of many kinds. You know, the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. We talked about maturity last week. It's that idea here that God is going to do His thing in you when you ask God for wisdom. So ask God for wisdom, James says, and it'll be given unto you. Ask God for wisdom. You see, years ago when I thought somehow that if I prayed to God for wisdom, somehow I'd be asking for some kind of a impartation from God of something in my life that was scripturally wrong. Because all those people out there talk about, oh, I've had certain revelations from God. God's talked to me. God showed this to me and everything else. And I was questioning that at that time. And so, guess what? James says, if you ask wisdom, let ask of God. And I said, nope, not going to ask Him. I had that attitude. Was that a right attitude? Nope. That's the wrong attitude. Absolutely wrong. And so at some point in my life, what did I do? I said, well, if God said to ask for wisdom are given to you and I, well, ask. Ask in faith. Now it says, oh, you got to have all the faith in the world. Well, now when the Bible talks about faith, does it talk about little faith? Does it talk about great faith? Does it talk about much faith? Does it talk about increasing your faith? So you think, in light of all those statements about faith, you think that you go to James and you say, well, no, I've got little faith. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That may be a little faith, maybe a faith that's just not sure. But you see, when you kids got up this morning, did you have breakfast? You didn't have breakfast? Did you have breakfast this morning, boys? I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do over here, you know. I guess they're going to be fed afterwards. I'm putting Dave on the spot here, so he's... Just tell him he's in trouble, okay? No, he's not in trouble. He's good. He's a good grandpa. But, you know, you got to believe that, because faith, and the reason why I say this, you believe you're going to leave here today at some point in time. Now, that's faith. And what the point of time is another issue now as I continue to talk, right? But you believe you're going to go and get in a vehicle more likely and go somewhere. You believe more likely going to eat something today, sometime today, so you don't starve to death, okay? You believe that you're going to rest sometime. Maybe you take a nap this afternoon. You believe that your plans for this week are going to happen. I believe that about 9 o'clock tonight, those band members from Waverly High School Band are going to get on a bus and they're going to head back to Waverly, Ohio. And I believe they're going to get here sometime tomorrow afternoon. Now, that's all a matter of faith. We live our lives daily with everything that we anticipate coming forward as a matter of faith, don't we? Whether it's faith in God and His work in our life, or faith in something else other than faith in God. And so, are we a sole proprietor or are we a company? When I get sandwiches today, most of the time I don't get them with lettuce on them. Now, it's not that I don't like lettuce. I had a nice salad last night and had lettuce in it, didn't it? And it was a good salad. I enjoyed it. But when I go and get my burgers or whatever, or my chicken sandwiches, I generally don't get lettuce on it. And the reason why I don't get lettuce on it, if you get mayonnaise and you get a tomato and you get lettuce on a sandwich, and the time you try to eat that thing and everything, it's just kind of oozing all over the place. At least it is with me, and I don't like sandwiches that ooze all over the place, except Whoppers. And by the way, I don't get them with tomato or lettuce either, okay? And they're wonderful. But did you notice, do you like lettuce? You like lettuce? Did you notice in this passage as you look at it? Did you notice the progression here? Let us draw near to God. It starts with God. Lettuce as a spiritual menu item begins with God. With a sincere heart, a full assurance of faith that brings, let us hold unswervingly the hope we profess. For God, He's promised, He's faithful. So we've got God, and because we've got God, we've got hope in this world. And because we've got God and we've got hope, then He says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good works, not giving up the meeting together, as some of the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. When I taught business courses, and you don't have to be a business major, you just understand what a sole proprietor is, right? Somebody that runs their own business. They're a sole proprietor. And then you got other people in partnerships, and you got other people work for the company, everything. But in the journey of this work in life, this work of faith, you and I are sole proprietors. We're individually responsible in that respect. But at the same time, we're part of the company. We're part of the company. We're part of the company of the faithful, those that have faith in God, those that are redeemed, those that have been bought by the blood of the Lamb. And so we're both a sole proprietor, as it were, of the company, because He says we may spur one another on toward love and good works, not giving up the meeting together, as some of them have been doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You know why I think this particular time is maybe as important as any time during the week? Because as we sing praises to God, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, as we read Scripture and we pray, we are here for a purpose of encouragement. And in the midst of the society we live in today, you think we need a little encouragement? You think the world needs encouragement? I think so. Absolutely. And so that's what we're all about in terms of the work we're doing. Y'all know that little song, He's Still Working on Me? You know that little song? We'll sing it, part of it, we'll repeat it, then we'll do that, okay? He's still working on me, He's still working on me, to make me all ought to be, to make me all ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. The sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and faithful He must be. How loving and faithful He must be. Because He's still working on me. Because He's still working on me. Is that in our books, West? Oh, don't know. Okay, that's okay. I just didn't know if it was or not. That's a song, okay? And by the way, W-O-R-K-I-N, since I'm from West Virginia, there is no such thing as a G at the end of these participles, okay? Going, doing, playing, eating. It's not eating and going and playing and doing. It's, you know, you understand, okay? God's still working on me. But what is in this passage? It says, it's not by what we do, not by our works, that anyone could boast. We're God's workmanship. We're God's handiwork. We're His poem, as it were. We're His new creation, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's part of our work, isn't it, in relationship to what we're all about? And James talks a lot about works. And the thing about James when you read it, and something that's significant when you read James chapter 2, somebody says, I have faith. They say they have faith. And James says, well, if you say you have faith, well, then I'm going to show you my faith by what I do. So I've got saving faith. And you see, faith in its work is twofold. It's saying it, and it's doing it. I listened to a program many years ago, Des Moines, Iowa. And the guy preached a lesson on faith, and he says, faith is spelled D-O. Faith is spelled D-O. That's what it's all about. And so James would say, you see that his faith, that is Abraham, and his actions were worked together, and his faith was made complete, there should have been an L in there, by what he did. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. Not by just saying, I have faith, but in action, the work that you and I are doing every day. So you get some rest. Is that the work of God? Jesus rested. I think he set a good example. Well, what about caring for people that are in need? Jesus do that? Yeah. Did he visit people? Yeah. Did he feed people? What did he do? He set a great example, didn't he? And so the Bible tells us that we are considered righteous in God's sight by what we do, and not by just saying, I have faith. You go out here in the world today, I guess if you were to survey 1,000 people and say, do you have faith in God? By the way, I think it's still about 90% in America. But if you look at the life they live, would you know by the work of their life and the works of their life that they're living a life of faith in God? You say, well, that's more likely questionable. But God's their judge, I'm not. Well, what about retirement? Is anybody in here retired? Now be careful. If you can raise your hand, you're not going to be graded on the curve. You can flunk the test. You've already raised your hand. Yes, you are retired, but the point is simply this. Yeah, Paul said, I've fought the good fight, I've finished the course, the race I've finished, the faith I've kept. When I was standing as the bus was ready to leave down in Waverly, Ohio the other night, one of my classmates from 1964, a guy named Greg Bartsch, we were standing there and we're waiting for them to load the instruments, we're waiting the luggage to be loaded on the buses and everything, and we're standing there talking because you see, and I hate to even say this, I'm still working. And I asked Greg, I said, are you still working? And he said, well, you know, I retired, and I was off about 6 months, and then he said, I couldn't stand anymore, so I went back to work. And he's working 5 days a week. Now, you know the catch in what I'm going to say, more likely already. You see, Paul never retired. As children of God, we never retire. We never retire. Now, we may retire in a physical sense from a job or profession or situation, but the reality is, in God's kingdom, we never retire. And by the way, when Paul says, the race I've finished, the word for finish there was the word that we talked about like maturity last week, completion, aim, goal, that kind of an idea. Paul says, guess what? I started on the 5K and I went across the finish line. I started the half marathon, I went across the finish line. I stole my woodworking job and I finished it. I was putting up the chicken coop out here and I finished it. I guess it's finished, is it not? Yes, okay, we got an affirmation there. I was working on the car. And it got finished, okay? But fixing our eyes on Jesus, the originator and finisher of our faith. You and I are not finished until we're finished, but our finish is not our finish. Isn't that real? But our finish, what we say we're finished. So we die. This physical life is finished. Is our life finished? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We're not finished. Because you see, when Paul said, I fought the good fight, I finished the course, I've kept the faith, he says, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, but not only for me, unto all them that love his appearing. Something great out there beyond this life. I don't like getting older. The golden years, like somebody says, are not so golden. Well, the aches and the pains and the wrinkles and the discomforts and all that thing and everything. But the outward person is decaying, and Paul says, yet the inward person is what? Renewed day by day. Some of the greatest things that are happening to us when we're getting older are the things that are happening internally rather than externally. When Jesus, in his last hours in this intercessory prayer, he says, Father, the hour has come. The cross was there. Glorify your Son that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all the people. He might give eternal life to all those you've given him. Now this is eternal life. They may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom I have sent. The Father. I brought you glory in the earth by, notice, finishing the work you gave me to do. Jesus started, born of Mary, 12 years old, growing in stature, favor with God and man. He started his public ministry. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And he lived his life physically as Emmanuel, God in the flesh. And he came to this hour and this time. In fact, he said to the disciples, you know, when Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, and Jesus talked about going up and being, as it were, persecuted by the scribes and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. He was going to be crucified, and he was going to be raised in 3 days. And Peter said what? Lord, may this never happen to you. And Jesus said to Peter, he says, get behind me, Satan. I think Peter had a problem with part of what Jesus said. And I think what he had a problem with in the part of what Jesus says was the fact he was going to be crucified. Not that he was going to be raised in 3 days. Because hallelujah, when you read through the book of Acts, what's emphasized? The resurrection. Baptism is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we enact when we obey God and we are baptized. It is that most poignant and significant thing that we do in relationship to understanding what Jesus did for us. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. We hadn't gone to the cross yet. But it wasn't short to happen, right? Time-wise. Jesus knew it was coming. He knew it was part of the plan. He knew it was part of the finishing. Absolutely. And when he died on the cross, the last words he uttered from the cross, it is finished. Jesus was finished. No. That's part of the finishing. Part of the finishing. Because the grave came, and then the resurrection came. But you see, the cross, the sacrifice, as Brandon shared with us so vividly this morning, the sacrifice for our sins, God giving Himself for the sins of the world, God giving Himself for us, the ultimate reality. And these words here, we talked about maturity last week, you could very well translate this passage, it's completed, it's done. I've taken the aim of where I was headed from the very time God told me this is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased, and I've hit it, and I've hit the bullseye all along the way, everything that God wanted me to do. I've finished the work you gave me to do, Father. And so I'm here on the cross. And it's finished. It's completed. It's done. It's done. And what's been done? The sacrifice for your sins and mine. The hope of eternal life. That's what's done. That's what's done. When I cross the rolling river and I see the swelling tide, and the bright and glorious morning I shall see my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him by the print of the nails in His hands. When my life's work is ended, Fanny Crosby said, been dead a long time. When my life's work is ended, what's going to happen? We're going to enter into the eternal realms of glory. We're going to sing a song of encouragement now. Burdens are lifted at Calvary because that's what it was all about. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. And when it comes to the work that we are called to do, whatever we do in word or deed, let's do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. That's our work. Every day, everything we do, word or deed, it's all. Whether it's bad or whether it's good, how we do it, that's not really the significance of it. The reality is, do we have that belief and faith in Jesus Christ that drives us on and motivates us every single moment of our lives? That's what God challenges us to. And we're going to sing about this song right now. Burdens are lifted at Calvary.